brought to you almost live from the Dude in the Basement Studios. Why? Because that's where the good stuff is. It sips, suds, and smokes with your smoking host, the good old boys. Suds, suds, suds. It's time for more suds.
Welcome, everyone, to yet another suds segment.
Another one.
She says it, and I just can't keep a straight face.
And our mantra of the day is drink, belch, and repeat.
And insult Canadians.
And ban Mike.
But just wait, we're just getting started. Joining me at the table today is good old boy Dave.
Can you dig it?
Good old boy Mike.
That's how they usually greet me. We're just getting started on you, buddy.
Reverend Mark.
So good to be here today. Thank you.
Good old boy Drew.
But why male models?
That's a good question. And I am good old gal Juliana.
Next time you'll come back and talk, you'll be a talking guest.
There's a good goal.
Talking or toking?
Yeah, both.
One leads to the other.
Right, you know, with Sharon.
I beat me pants again, Sharon.
Today, we're going to be doing something different. We're going to drink some beer.
Wow. And be entertaining?
We're going to insult Canadians backwards.
Mike's going to do a good foreign accent.
Mike is going to be sorry.
Mike's going to love raspberry beers. Mike's going to like
negative.
Beer.
No.
Mike's doing a lot of things today. Well, I know this is shocking, but yes, we are going to drink some beer today. And we're going to be trying some beer from Ology Brewing in Tallahassee, Florida.
Googling?
Ology? Is that like otolaryngology? Sorry.
Wow.
It's just ology.
It's just ology, man.
It's just ology, you know?
Where you going, man? Going to ology.
Get down with the ology.
That's right. Ology. It's just studying stuff. Just
meet up at ology later.
First, though, our sud segment is brought to you by...
Do you like stuff? Do you need things? Well, come on down to Stuff and Things. We have more stuff than anyone, and our things are so competitively priced. Stuff and Things, Things and Stuff, Stuff and Things and Stuff and Things, now with more stuff.
It's weird how we got Frank Sinatra to sing that.
From the grave.
Yes.
I think he likes our episode.
That's why he sounded like that, because he's dead.
That and the Jack Daniels.
My favorite artist.
Wow. Good old boy Dave, why don't you give us some background on Ology Brewing?
Oh, this should be entertaining.
Here's Dave reading a lot of words. Oof. From their website, our story spans generations. Generations of scientists who tirelessly sought to understand the complex nature of good old boy Mike. I'm sorry, taste,
is this
smell...
A-
and microbiology.
Is this a brewery or a World War II black project?
It smells like crap.
One started from the other. With this inspiration in mind, we worked tirelessly to pursue our passion of merging traditional brewing with new techniques and flavor profiles to craft incredible beer tirelessly.
Is it the old way or the new way?
We pursue what's different, undiscovered, and unequaled, like Mike being a jerk. Ology Brewing Company was credited out of, well, genetics. Yeah, that doesn't sound very romantic.
Eugenics?
Yes, eugenics. But the reality is true. Head brewer and founder of Ology, Nick Walker, was raised in a family of researchers and scientists who found their home in Tallahassee, Florida, at Florida State University, where their motto is, you couldn't make it into Florida, come on down. In the 1950s. You could say that Ology's history really started with Nick's grandfather, Lloyd Beadler. A prominent researcher at Florida State University's psychobiology department who forged discoveries into the science of how we experience taste. During his years, Beadler conducted experiments and made incredible discoveries.
You in the back, do you smell the lemon or not?
Including the effects of miracle fruit, which I've never heard of, which if ingested before eating something sour would make you the flavor in your mouth taste sweet, kind of like sugar or
so said Willy Wonka of Tallahassee.
And if you didn't think science was cool already, you won't. Now, Nick's father, Jim Walker, also studied olfaction, the study of smell. His research looked into how smell affects us psychologically. Then enter Nick Walker, who graduated with a BS in biology and worked as a nurse at a local hospital. He's loved beer since before he could walk, which sounds illegal, but it is Florida, and uses his incessant thirst for knowledge to study beer history and travel to learn from the most notable craft brewers.
So I'm not sure if that was an intro for a brewery or a description of the MK Ultra program. And, you know, were these guys dosing goats with LSD? Yeah,
yeah. You can almost see, you know, Nick's childhood, you know, basically unfolding right before you. You know, it's like, do you smell the lemon or the pizza?
Hey, kid, come drink this.
Pull my finger. What do you smell?
Nick, crawl to the beer. Crawl to the beer.
Okay, moving on.
We're not insulting this brewery, okay? That's what I'm just saying.
No, the beer is probably phenomenal.
Yes.
The words.
We feel good about
it. I want to meet Professor Walker.
Good old boy, Mike. Why don't you tell us today's lineup?
If I dare. Theology Brewing beers we're going to be tasting today are the Good Idea Alt Beer at 4.9% ABV, the Blackberry, Boysenberry, Red Currant, Goza, Blender in a can at 6% ABV, the DDH Sensory Overload Hazy IPA at 6.5% ABV, Heliocentric Distortion NIPA, 8% ABV, the False Gravity American Vec Lager, Lager, 3.7% ABV.
Oh, we're making fun of these guys because of their words.
I drive a Dodge Strata American IPA, 6.5%, otherwise known as the Chick Wagon of Tallahassee. The Cuvée de Sauvigne Hazy Deepa with Sauvignon Blanc grapes and Nelson Sauvignon hops at 8% ABV.
Whew. Wow.
Why, thank you.
Yes.
That was a mouthful.
I want the t-shirt that says, I own the Dodge Strata.
Good old boy, Drew. Why don't you read us the Suds ratings for today?
It'll be my pleasure. We'll be discussing and rating these beers with these Suds ratings, plus our signature belching sounds. Here are those ratings now. 1. That sucks. Give me anything but a bud.
You smell like kumquat.
Where did that come from?
2, was that a belch?
Bet.
3, what a relief. Number 4, a body should really not make that sound. And 5, listen to that hang time. Give me another.
Yes.
Good boy, Drew. All right, let's get on to those beers. First off, I think we're going to talk about the Good Idea. It's an alt beer coming in at 4.9% ABV.
I would like to start by saying anyone brewing an alt beer... It's a good idea.
I like
it. It's a good idea, yes.
I know, it's kind of badass, isn't it?
Yeah.
So, originally from Dusseldorf, Germany, the German-style brown strikes a balance between hop, malt flavors, and aroma.
True.
And because it's an ale that's fermented at almost lager temperatures, but not quite, it's kind of a hybrid.
This so every time I have a great alt beer, which all the great alt beers I've had have been made by Reverend Mark. You know, they really have kind of this. Do you have a bready caramel, you know, thing that's kind of coming around to it? It really should not move into the point where you're like, wow, this is bitter. It should taste like a light roast, you know, moist. Should still have, you know, kind of the
moist,
the elements of roast without all the bitterness. And yeah. So that's what I love about this is that you're feeling of the roast, but, you know, all the sugars are still there and present. So I love, this is a great example of a good alt beer.
Yeah, and even though your bittering units can go, you know, fairly high, from moderate to fairly high, it's
yeah,
still,
this,
it
this
still
probably should, on the lower side for this one, yeah.
Yeah, it should round out with a clean malt.
Well, I don't think you want it to be, yeah, too.
No, no.
Because then you've got a Imperial Brown
mm-hmm.
IPA or something.
This is, I'm really impressed by this.
Yeah, yep. This is a great alt beer.
And you don't want any esters because it's fermented low. So
yeah,
this is clean in that regard as well.
Very, very clean.
The only thing that's wrong with this is I don't have a gallon of it.
Let's say, right. Give me more.
So are we doing this or this?
Good job. I mean, seriously, good job for an alt beer. And for such an underrated beer style too, you know? No. Anyways, we are going to rate the Good Idea alt beer from Ology a 5.
And Drew was making fun of all their words and stuff earlier.
Come great on, beer. Talk about a great opening salvo.
Great yeah. beer.
We'll be back with some more Ology beers in just a minute.
Clouds and crashing surf, iridescent dunes reflecting by the light of a rising glowing moon. Seashore mesmerizing, night breeze hypnotizing, we've come across these back roads none too soon. Look to the left, to the right, keep your eyes on the road, my darling, wondering if we're only passing through. Open roads and open windows, my hand is yours forever, sweet love.
Welcome back, everyone. So today,
I regret nothing.
Yet.
I regret nothing.
The episode is still young, folks.
Yes, I agree.
Oh, my God, yeah.
More good ideas.
Yeah, there's more beer ahead of us.
Speaking of beer, we are talking about beer, and today's brewery of choice is Ology.
Must we?
From Tallahassee.
Do we have to? Can we have this beer last?
So the next beer is an ultimate favorite of good old boy Mike's here. It's a blackberry, boysenberry, red currant, goza.
Pick one. Mm-hmm.
And this is a good, cute color.
Yeah, you could see this at 200 yeah, yards magenta. From across the room.
That's definitely a magenta. That's
fluorescent pink.
Neon signs wish they looked like this. It's tasty, man.
And it's only 6%.
This is one of those ones that I feel like I wouldn't want to admit that I like it as much as I do.
So if I had to pick the predominant berry, I would say it's going to be the boysenberry out of this.
Brings back that IHOP syrup.
Yeah. You know, blackberry to me is very acidic and bitter, and that's not what this is. This is more tart and earthy. Has a it's not really sharp either. So it's a lot softer because of probably the blend.
I feel like the currents are riding along.
I can get that, definitely.
There's an undercurrent.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Dad.
Wow.
Fired.
Wow.
Yeah, definitely the buzzer on that one. The current is definitely there, you know, on the back end and the finish, you know, coming out of this. I wouldn't say that it's wine-like. I think that is a real stretch, you know, but
it's too kettle.
Yeah.
Too much kettle to be wine.
I agree. I think that for fruited Goza, I think this is an interesting choice. I don't know that I would describe that it's working. I can think of a lot of other Gozas that I would probably have enjoyed on the planet.
Well, let's listen working. To someone who might think it is working. Reverend Mark, what did you think?
Well, I think it's just on vacation.
Yeah, there you go. See? Vacation sucks. It all works.
Julie, what did you think?
It's not working as a complex cacophony of taste.
It's like a half-dimensional.
It's clean. It's clean. Yeah. I get the...
Get all the berries.
Yep.
Yeah.
What do you all think, the berries.
As Professor Walker would say, do you smell some pepperoni?
Wow. Dude.
It's a little sweet for me, I think, and I'm also getting a lot of wheat at the end, more so than like the currant. You know, like I'm a big fan of red currants, and I just don't feel like I'm getting any of that on here. The boysenberry, yes, all day long.
Yeah.
But it just seems a little one-dimensional you know, considering we're supposed to have all these
fruits. I think the Goza got lost in this. I don't really taste the salt, you know.
No.
And, yeah.
But I taste a lot of wheat.
Reconstitution.
This is a boysenberry that's been disguised as something else, you know. Yeah.
Well, we're going to rate the blackberry, boysenberry, red currant, Goza from Ology.
And a partridge and a pear tree.
A 2.
Bad idea.
It's okay. It's okay.
Make a good Goza first.
Okay.
Yes. Next up, we are going to talk about a sensory overload.
Oh, yeah, baby.
Yeah. So this is a double dry hopped hazy IPA with Sabro.
Yeah, it is.
6.5% ABV, which I find interesting.
I loved this beer. You know, there is a local brewery that makes a hop blend that is just right in line with this. So Drew and I are looking at each other, and we'll see if we're thinking the same thing. It's a lot like Loud Whispers at Southern Grist.
Yeah. I was going to actually say, I see that. I was going to say it's got a similar to Attention, Please.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, both those. Very mosaic forward and Galaxy. And I just, I love how well balanced this whole thing is. I could drink, this is a great hazy IPA. I could drink this all day long.
Mm-hmm. Me too. And I think it also has a real silkiness of the palate. I mean, not overly, but there's a little bit of a buffer there.
I really want, and it's not, we've seen other beers in the market that are specifically designed to pair with this type of cuisine, but this seems to match it more in my mind. I really want some Indian food, like some butter chicken, like chicken tikka masala, something like that, I think would go very well with this.
This beer makes me feel like...
I got the poo on me!
I'm not a fan of this
beer. Whoa!
Yeah, it's just not...
Not enough lavender, not enough heather ale for you?
It just tastes dirty and weird to me. I don't know, I don't like it.
Huh.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
I think it's nice. I like the creaminess on it. I like the hops. I like the citrus on it. And it's not quite like in your face New England IPA.
Yeah.
But it's getting there. It's a more refined version, I guess, of a New England IPA.
Yep. This is not jacked up. Yeah.
Yeah. And we are going to rate the sensory overload a 5.
Wow.
Oh, I'm sorry. Of course I hit the wrong button. Yes.
We'll fix that in post again, so Dave.
It'll be fine.
Yeah.
Wow.
Fix this beer in post. How about that? Make it taste good.
We'll dump some heather ale in there just for you.
I'm not the one who likes heather ale. You're making fun of the lady. So.
Oh, okay.
That's me. Yeah. I'm the heather ale.
You need
lover.
Some Fuggles in this?
Take this beer and chug it.
Some Fuggles would probably make this beer taste less fuggled up.
It's really good. I, you know, the only thing I'm disappointed about is that it didn't come in like a Crowler 32-ounce can.
Dave's senses must be overloaded.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's the only
Which is not hard to do.
Mm.
All right, let's go out of this universe into the heliocentric distortion.
Mm.
This one is a hazy double IPA.
Was that a heliopause?
It's absolutely hazy.
This is 8% ABV.
There's a strange.
Yeah, I'm getting a metallic nose. To me.
There's a lot of stuff moving around in my beer.
Yeah.
Well, since I picked up the wrong beer, that didn't work.
Let's see.
It's not bad. I mean, it's...
Wow. Having these two back-to-back is really interesting.
I really like this, but I think it suffers for having come after.
It's definitely a lot... it's a watery, version of a NEPA for sure. Wow. This is a dwarf of what we just had.
And this is 8%.
Yep.
Yeah. It's hard. I can't even believe the same brewer made these beers.
This is crushable in a good way for me. Like I said, I think that's how
you have to look at it. If you're going to compare incredibly to the
muted.
Last beer, which was like just a flavor bomb, which is maybe why, you know, if it had good flavor, it would have been great. But anyways, this beer, I think they made it to be a big crushable beer.
I want to shotgun this. I know it's going to end badly for me, but I want to.
What's my name?
Ends up with Drew laying out in the yard.
Adrian!
Is it Monday yet?
Help me!
Call the Canadians!
Well, this one has Nelson Sauvin and Mosaic hops. And actually, this one gold at the Best Florida Beer to 2020.
Well, that's let's Florida. Put that in we were not Come judges on. In that, so there you go.
I mean, they know some things about spirits and cigars down there, but...
So the thing about that is, I love Mosaic hops. I like Nelson Sauvin hops, but a lot of times I don't like when Nelson Sauvin gets blended with another hop.
See, I love Nelson, but I generally don't like Mosaic.
It's just way too muted for me. Reverend Mark,
it's muted?
Say? Yeah.
I'm getting the opposite. I mean, I find it, if I shotgun this, I would be... Like under anesthesia.
Well, it's a good thing we have Juliana here.
What's that heart rate at?
Yeah. Bring him back, Julie. Bring him back.
Pulse ox.
I mean, it's not a favorite. And yes, it is kind of sad that we went from sensory overload to this. I think if it was distanced a little bit, we might have a different perspective
Having
on it.
These two side by side, I don't know that we've done, you know, the
justice.
You had to go the other direction.
Letting each of these beers stand well on their own. This is something that I would probably enjoy with a family gathering that I don't want to be at.
Which is like all
at least
of his
you'd have a good beer.
At least I would have a beer cases. That would remind me that I need to be elsewhere. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a nice family, right as, there, isn't
as,
it?
As opposite of all the family gatherings that the rest of his family doesn't want him to be at.
Is Mike coming? No. Yeah. Awesome.
Yes. Well, I think this goes to show, though, that, you know, we have such varied palates, and one man's love is another man's...
Mike.
Something trash treasure in there, but yeah, sure.
Why not? Sure. Okay. So, heliocentric distortion from Ology, we are going to rate a 3.
Very interesting where this is in the flight, for sure. And almost want to go back and taste this, you know, after we finish, you know, the flight.
So, as a side note, I found out what Tallahassee means. It's an Apalachee Indian word meaning old town or abandoned field.
Giant hole.
See, I was thinking something like Andrew Jackson was here.
Wow.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Too soon?
I spent a little too much time in Tallahassee. So my mom finished her master's degree at Florida State. And actually
was she studying in the 1950s with
psycho,
Mr. Biedler?
Psychobiology?
I wish. That would be interesting since she was in, you know, a lot of psychology classes. It'd be interesting if she knew Professor Walker.
So tell me about your mother.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Does she smell the citrus? But I only remember going scuba diving in, you know, some of the caves that were, some of the springs that were around there. One of them is incredibly famous, and there's a lot of people that have died in that, you know, cave.
Wow, sounds great. Yeah, is that...
Well, they have this big sign, you know, don't go down here unless you're a certified cave diver. Look, like, you know, 85 people have been killed. You know, if you don't know what you're doing, don't go down here.
So from what I understand, like, when you do that, like, it's very easy to get disoriented.
Very much so.
And then you end up going the wrong way, and then you're like, you know, people kind of freak out, and then they...
Well, there are a lot of guidelines, guy wires, you know, guidelines that you follow, you know, when you go in and out of the cave. But, I mean, you get off one of those lines, or you're not quite sure whether you're following yourself into the cave or out of the cave.
Yeah.
It can be very hard to tell
if the bubbles are going up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not a huge fan of cave diving in general, but I did go like into the cave entrance, you know, itself, you know, maybe for, I don't know, 50, 75 feet. And I was like, okay, I'm good.
I've done it. I'm going
to, I'm out of here.
I'm going to go.
Yeah.
Time to have a beer.
But, incredibly, great visibility. That was one thing I really remember the most about Tallahassee. So I should have taken a class from Professor Walker, you know, for sure. Do you smell the pepperoni? That is a banana.
Mike would learn how to taste raspberries the right way.
Wow.
So do we have time for my topic worth discussing?
Yes.
All right. Of course. So I am dying to tell everybody about my favorite topic that... So I was driving down the road, and I ran across this sign that was on the side of the road that says, reward for a lost trailer hitch. It's from the 70s. It's a family heirloom and has the initials MLB on it. And it says, please call, and a phone number and a reward. And it wasn't just like one sign. There were like eight signs along this road of where I saw all these signs. And when I first passed them, I was like, I started dying laughing, and I tried to take a picture. I'm like, that's just too funny. But then I went by about like a week later, they are still there. I just got to thinking about the whole thing. I'm like, well, a family heirloom is a trailer hitch.
You know what though? Like if you know, like your grandpa had a trailer hitch on his truck for a long time, then it was a thing. Maybe that would be a deal, but if the trailer hitch was that important, wouldn't you make sure it was securely connected?
Securely fastened to your truck.
And then, or you would just put it in your house or something. So obviously you wall didn't care that it. Much about your trailer hitch.
Next to the 12-point buck.
Right next to the 12-point buck have the trailer hitch up there.
Yeah. You know, this was
me and Daddy bagged that one back down in the
Walmart. Here's the trailer hitch from the truck we hit this deer with, you know.
Or maybe it's in a shadow box with the picture. Ooh. Of
a shadow box. Oh, wow.
So it's not actually a trailer hitch. It's actually a caisson, and the grandfather served as an artilleryman in the Great War.
There you go.
You know, so it's in the shadow box next to his service medals.
But do we know? Maybe it's gold. Maybe it's brass. Somebody thought it was a precious metal.
Gold has the tensile strength.
Brass. I don't think you could. Too brittle. You would end up denting it, and then the trailer would just pop off.
How do you think this went down, Reverend Mark? I'm dying to know.
Well, I think...
Tell us what Jesus would say.
I think it's still in the family somewhere.
Oh, okay.
I just think,
You're saying Uncle Billy came along, picked up the Isis.
He had to move a double wide, and he just hadn't come back yet.
So Reverend Mark's going with one of the seven deadly sins, like greed.
Maybe we're looking at it the wrong way. Maybe it's not like an heirloom trailer hitch that's like been passed down through the family for generations. Maybe it's... like an heirloom tomato, like it's you know, comprised of other trailer hitches.
Like it was made in a way that it was artisanal. Alloy. It was not almost seeing
like this huge family, you know, ceremony that happens every year at Thanksgiving. You're like, Tommy, this is your year. We're going to let you put the trailer hitch on your truck for the next year.
So it's like your day with the Stanley Cup.
And everybody else was like, not Tommy.
Not Tommy. God,
he's going to eat cereal out of it.
He's going to lose it. Oh, jeez. And like Tommy's like driving around. Oh, it's October. I made it all the way. Got the trailer hitch and everybody thought I couldn't do it.
I mean, where do you put this on your resume to say, I was endowed with the trailer hitch from my family?
The keeper of the caisson.
Well, what if it's like the Paul Bunyan of trailer hitches, though? I mean, like, you know, your great-grandfather had it. I mean, maybe there's special DNA in it, and they want to make sure
it... Who would put their initials on a trailer hitch? I mean, I'm serious. It's like, I can't begin to tell you how just that alone, putting your initials on a trailer hitch...
Maybe it's not a real trailer hitch. It's a symbol.
It's a metaphor.
Yes.
Yeah. So you're saying that grandma's ashes are actually embedded into the trailer hitch somehow?
And that's what makes it so powerful.
Really?
And now grandma's down on the side of the road somewhere, and some dude probably picked it up and sold it for scrap.
Oh,
no longer will depressing. She be there, you know, helping you back your trailer up, you know, to put your boat in the dock.
Yeah.
At the bay.
It's the
in Florida.
You know, it's family that keeps you safe, right?
I think what was funny is I found myself actually looking around for the trailer hitch on top of all this.
Well, here's what I would like
to say. I've got to get this back to this family.
Here's what I would like to say. If anyone listening to this show finds a trailer hitch with some initials on it, please contact the show immediately.
info@sipsudsandsmokes.com
So that we can try
reunite.
To bring this trailer hitch back home.
It's important.
And give it a happy ending.
Yes.
Whoa, I'm not giving it a happy ending.
If you have an interesting family heirloom story, I am dying to know what is the object in your family that holds so much covenant that if it got lost in the side of a road, you'd create a road sign just to find
the
this
weirder
thing,
so. The better.
You and your cousins would never speak again.
I'm thinking
again.
It would be a hard seltzer can that would save a river.
We had a can of Billy beer from 1974, and my cousin Jethro lost it, and we ain't spoke to him since.
We'll be back with hopefully some more beer after this brief interlude. Just the destination, but baby, the whole elation riding down this lover's avenue. As slow as a willow blows, or as fast as the whirlwind grows, we glide beneath the stars in cobalt blue. Look to the left, to the right, keep your eyes on the road, my darling, wondering if we're only passing through. Open roads and open windows, my hand is yours forever, sweet love. Our eyes ahead on these back roads with a view. Welcome back, so everyone.
Is there something that attaches to a trailer?
No. Stop.
Just know what you. That's so rude. That's so rude.
Trailer hitches and beer. What is this world coming to? Welcome back, everyone.
Maybe that could make like the greatest holiday pack. You know, you combine those together. You know,
6-pack and a hitch.
You know, a 12-pack and a trailer hitch.
That's what happens every time it snows around here.
Yeah, that's right.
Welcome back, everyone. No, you're not dreaming. This is not a bad dream.
Yeah, you too got hitched one time. I remember.
You may wish it were.
Oh,
does the
man.
Trailer hitch smell like pepperoni?
Help. Just help me. Pray for me, folks. Pray.
Nothing better than some false gravity.
Ayo.
Okay.
You gave me up for a good argument.
No, you didn't. You gave me up for an argument.
So we... Hi, folks. We're talking about some beers from Ology Brewing in Tallahassee, Florida today.
Old town.
Yep.
Abandoned field, Florida.
And the next beer that we are going to discuss, I'm kind of excited to talk about this because you don't see this beer style a lot. And it comes in such a cute little can. It's called False Gravity. It's an American Kvik Lager.
Kvik.
So this is 3.75% ABV.
This is the hot new style of 2020.
Is it really?
That's true. Think about it. Yeah.
This is definitely the it style for
Finlandian farm
style
beer.
So let's talk about this for a second.
Solera?
It is simply the Western Norwegian slang word for yeast, which designates a family of unusually hardy and high heat tolerant yeast strains capable of producing clean beers at ridiculously high fermentation temperatures with little to no funk, medicinal aromas, or harsh or alcohol or other alien yeast.
Ridiculously high Scandinavian.
That's so counterintuitive. So
you can potentially get lager style flavors at 80 degree fermentation temperature.
Mm-hmm. And it's not a cream ale.
No.
No.
And it's like a Norwegian farmhouse.
And beer. It doesn't produce any esters at that
level. I'm going to call it lazy brewing. That's what I'm going to call it.
Hey, I'm going to call it.
Yeah, it looks a little flat.
I'm going to call it tasty. I mean,
it
call
is
it tasty.
Tasty.
But I don't know how you call tasty. It lager if it's at a high temperature, because lager means rest.
Yeah, it blows your mind.
So I'm lost.
Some people rest at a high temperature.
Some opposing, I don't know. So I know a Vic Lager should taste like, but American Vic Lager is, I have no idea what in the heck that should taste
like. American Pale Ale? Mm-hmm. No one can agree, so anything goes.
So
I think maybe because they're using corn and rice in the grist.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Which tells me why it seems, a bit off here, because there's way too much body, in this beer for a Vic Lager, for me. It should be a lot lighter in terms of body. It should have a more crisp finish. And this has too many sugars and that are going on and way too much malt.
Are you tasting that lactose again?
No. I just I think it's very heavy for a 3.7% beer.
But the flip side of that is a 3.75 beer with some body and flavor. Oh my
God. That's an anomaly in itself.
That's pretty freaking good, dude. I mean, like, a lot of times people are complaining like these light beers have no flavor or no body. This one's actually got that.
Yeah, relative to the gravity, it does have flavor.
It just tastes like somebody dropped some ice cubes in a Bud Light. I mean, I don't
know. Well, no, or topped off your can in the rinse cycle in the car wash.
Something like that.
See, to me, though, I think this is a beer that if you knew you could be drinking a 3.75 beer that's actually got some body and flavor. I like it. I think it's pretty tasty.
I don't hate this, but I... Well, sorry. That's probably not true. I am enjoying this. However, my familiarity with this style is definitely different.
It's very
drinks more saison-y in, like, my memory.
So it is a farmhouse-style yeast.
But this is not... This particular rendition is not... eliciting those memories for me.
Right. I guess I get you.
I'm wondering, what is it with the small can?
Yeah.
Yeah, really.
Got to be something about taxes.
Yeah, sure.
Tiny fingers? I don't know.
Well, they probably bought a bunch small of those little cans. They probably made a can order and they're like, oh crap, I didn't realize we ordered these.
I don't like this. I don't know what they were aiming for. I just, it just seems like It all just got kind of lost for me. I love Vic Lager, and I've had some really good Vic Lagers lately.
This is not one of the best ones. I don't know why they used rice.
Yeah.
I think that makes the difference to me. I think it definitely
changed up the mouthfeel in a way that is not good.
Yeah. If I was at a ball game and you poured this for me in a big plastic cup, I would enjoy the heck out of it.
Yeah.
Because I wouldn't know what it was. Yeah. Knowing what it is, a little more difficult.
JB. Mm-hmm.
I kind of like, I'm having a hard time with it. I mean, because I do like it for what it is. It is flavorful for the lower ABV. You know what I mean? But yeah, you're right. It's missing that crispness that I would expect.
All about the body.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. But yeah.
All about the base.
And it's kind of defizzed a little bit here too. So,
yep.
We are going to rate False Gravity a 2.
Under protest.
So if you hadn't told me that it was a Kvik lager, I probably would have rated it higher.
Yeah.
Now let's talk about I drive a Dodge Strata.
I heard that about you.
That is, so this beer is going to get a point just for the name.
Yeah.
For sure.
So Hazy IPA, 6.5%. Mm. Strata everything.
Wow.
Dank, that tropical,
tasty,
passion
that
fruit.
Very tasty.
Flavor and,
it's
and aroma.
It's been sitting here for a while.
Yeah. It has. Yeah. I know.
I actually am liking it better.
Mm-hmm. I almost want to crack a fresh one because...
That passion fruit is nice.
Wow, that first hit of the aroma and the taste on this was really quite pleasing. I don't know why they call it American IPA, because this is a really good hop blend that they've gone with.
Yeah. This is very NEPA to me.
Well, it doesn't have the sharp hop presence that you would get, you know, in a NEPA, so definitely nothing, you know, approaching that lupulin, you know, attack of the senses, you know, experience. This definitely tastes like just a very good creamy IPA.
It reminds
me. That's what I like, though, is that kind of the mouthfeel and the juiciness.
Yeah,
of it.
The soft aspect of this is very intoxicating for sure. I can definitely see this, you know, along some people are going, you know, I'm willing to embrace some of this craft beer thing, you know, but I don't want something that has very flavor forward. This is a great beer, you know, to serve up for somebody that likes some training wheels and doesn't want to experience, yeah, you know, basically a hop attack.
What's the ABV on it?
6.5.
See, yeah, that's another thing I like too.
Yeah, I can give this to Aunt Judy.
Yeah. She won't fall down the steps.
I like this a lot. It reminds me a lot of the more, I mean, I don't think they say if you have to regionalize IPA styles, which I feel like that's sort of a thing we have to do now.
This is very Tallahassee-ish.
I was actually going to say more Midwest. Like, sure, the first thing that I like, some of the IPAs coming out of Three Floyds,
Iowa,
or, you know, Michigan Louis. Founders, Bells, you know.
It's balanced.
It's
very balanced.
It's like not very drinkable.
That's it, Juliana. It's very, I love the balance off this, is really what's coming around.
Yeah, it's not too citrus, it's not too hoppy, it's not too dang, you know, there's, there's no dang.
Backbone.
Yeah, it's not too malty, that's where I was going with. It's good.
Well, I get a little kind of evergreen, not in a bad sense, but it's more the kind of pine, a little bit of pine aspect.
On the end.
Not juniper.
Yeah, I could see a little bit of pine at the end.
So it makes me think of the Florida, yeah.
Yeah. And Nick, if you drove a Dodge Strata in high school or college, that makes you even cooler.
If he drives one now, he's cool.
This beer works all the way around. I love the name. I love the hot blend. Yeah.
I'm thinking that we're going to give this one a 5.
Mm-hmm.
The Dodge Strata rules.
Great beer. Definitely, if that came up in front of me at competition, I would score that one into the 30s all day long. Yeah,
that's neat. And of course, the can art is pretty rad itself. Wow,
that really makes a huge difference.
Fresh out of the can, even better.
Yeah. I bet that rocks, man. Because
it's distinctly different from sitting out for a little bit, but it's still super tasty.
Well, while we're tasting a bit of the fresh Strata, why don't you introduce the next beer, Julian?
Aw, thanks for letting me do that.
Oh, well.
I thought he was going to say, why don't we see if we got any hits on the trailer hitch.
On the trot line, yeah. The trailer hitch is tied to the trot line.
A wagon full of the Dodge Strata IPA.
Wow. Okay, so the last one that we are going to talk about in this flight is the Cuvée de Sauvin.
Cuvée de Sauvin.
Sauvin.
Mike wants some Strata.
Yeah, I want some Strata. Don't let it sit over there with her.
You don't get any more Strata.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. Thank you, Drew.
Yeah, you're looking at that there. Okay.
Whatever.
This is a hazy double IPA fermented with Sauvignon Blanc grapes, grape must, and dry
hops.
Which
just means crushed grapes.
With Nelson Sauvin hops. 8%. Mm. They double down on the white wine, the white peach, the gooseberry experience in this beer. Not only is it filled with amazing Nelson hop flavor, but they fermented it with Sauvignon Blanc grape must. This lended a sharper note with some tannins and grape flavors on the finish. Amazing blend of flavors in a fun package.
Hmm. I'd be very interested to know where they got their Sauvignon Blanc grapes from, because that's not a style Kmart. That grows in Florida, to my knowledge.
No. Texas.
Right. And just because of some of the sub flavors, complementary flavors in this are not things that I would expect to find in most Sauvignon Blanc, maybe certain regions. I don't know. Maybe I'm reading too much into the grapes.
Definitely every time, you know, mm-hmm. we get a beer that is has some element of wine or wine blended into it. I had right into that Dial-In series with Trillium. You know, those things, all of those beers were so good. And I just think they set the reference standard for, you know, anything that is combined with grapes. And this just got lost.
Yeah, I didn't detect it very
much. I'm like, where's the grape, man?
Okay, yeah. So you don't pick up the grape in it. So you get mostly the Nelson Sauvin, the hops.
There's something there that is screwing everything up. That's how I would describe it.
That's the grape.
Yeah. This is not a good idea. This is not a good blend. This is not working.
Like, not knowing as much about wine or the grapes, this doesn't bother me. Like, I get Nelson Sauvin hops is what I mostly get.
Yeah.
And then it's a beer.
Yeah, I wouldn't have known otherwise.
And incredibly muted on top of that.
Mm-hmm. If I was, like, if I didn't know any better, because, you know, anyone in there, they would say barrel-aged if it was barrel-aged, because that's, you know, marketing crack and alcohol these days. But maybe malactic, you know, characteristic to it that would make me think like French oak, you know, aged in a barrel. But no. But no, there is a Venice characteristic to it I'm picking out, but it is...
not working.
It's not particularly well... it's more of a cacophony than a harmony.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's like something that they put on paper, and they were like, absolutely, this is totally going to work all day long. And then they didn't taste it on the back end, or they were like, well, we've done it now. Let's just stick it in the can. And I just...
expected El Greco got Jackson Pollock.
I would have dumped this. I mean, I don't think this works at all.
What do you think, Juliana?
Meh.
That's kind of how I feel. Like, I don't hate it, but it's not.
Well, I'm underwhelmed.
Can I have some more of the Dodge Strata?
Seriously, the Dodge Strata, especially right out of the can, is amazing. But yeah, this one, it's not like it's terrible, but it's just
a bad idea.
You know? And maybe it suffers from being tasted right after the other, you know?
Yeah. Okay, well, we are going to rate the Cuvée de Sauvin a 2.
I would love to revisit this with a nice cheese board, some toasted nuts.
And some real wine in it. I mean,
I think alongside a real wine would be interesting.
Yeah.
You know, like New Zealand Sauvignon Blanc.
If I had to tell them how to rescue this, I would say, you know, seriously sit down and taste somebody else's, you know, wine blended beers.
Go talk to Brandon Jones.
Yeah.
I think this was a pretty outstanding flight altogether, though. I mean, we had some fives, we had some fours, threes, and twos. They're not all great, but there are some great beers here.
Well, but let me ask you a quick question about the Cuvée, though. If this was on tap, if this was fresh from
I would have sent it back.
No, but I mean, like, I'm just wondering. It could be different,
I think, is what she's driving
at. Yeah, is what I'm driving at, is maybe this is just something that is.
I don't think it would taste any better fresh.
Okay.
Yeah.
He would have said, give me some more Strata.
Yeah, I would have. I would have said, you know.
Would you prefer raspberry?
There's great beer here, then this is not it.
Give me some more raspberry Strata. Mike would have enjoyed
raspberry
it.
Raspberry Strata.
Well, I would really love to hear more about what happened in the Walker family, you know, growing up. That would be a real tale.
Well, Nick, I think you're cool.
Ology.
Well, that's going to do it for us today, right?
Yeah.
Damn.
Mostly.
Wait, what?
What?
What? What? What?
Well, we hope you enjoyed this episode. If you're listening to us online, please do yourself a favor, or do us a favor.
Stop.
Do everyone a favor.
Do your favor to me. Wow.
Just please tap.
Give it a little tappy. Tap, tap, tap-a-roo.
Please tap that subscribe button. The easiest way to listen to our show is to ask Siri, Alexa, Google, or Uncle Larry, play podcast Sip, Suds, and Smokes.
Thank you, Uncle Larry.
We love your feedback, and you can reach us online at info@sipsudsandsmokes.com.
Our daily tasting notes flow out on Twitter every day at @SipSudSmokes, and our Facebook page is always buzzing. Lots of news. You'll be able to interact with the thousands of other fans on those social media platforms.
And do us a favor and take the time to rate this episode if you're listening to us online. That's a big help to us, and we get to see your feedback as well.
5 stars.
Good boy, Dave. It's that time again.
Time to go to sleep.
Time to say goodbye.
Oh, bye.
Good boy, Mike.
Well, I really love the pepperoni flavored beer for today. It had a really nice citrus overtone to it. So, hey, come back. Join us for another exciting episode here on Sip, Suds, and Smokes. I definitely ask you to keep on sipping.
Reverend Mark.
Yeah, and I'm heading out of here on the Dodge Strata.
Very good. Good old boy, Drew.
Psychobiology.
This is good old gal, Juliana. Thanks again for listening to us. Keep on chuggling and catch you on our next episode.
On you and the back, stand up and tell us what the banana pizza tastes like.
This has been a One Tan Hand production of Sip, Suds, and Smokes, a program devoted to the appreciation of some of the finer slices of life. From the Dude in the Basement Studios, your host, the Good Old Boys, will see you all next time.